Tonight we are commemorating the martyrdom, the shahadat of our 10th Imam, Imam al-Hadi, Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salatu wassalam. And it needs to be remembered that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam is one of those Imams who had reached the mansab and position of Imamat in a very young age. And according to some of the narrations, he was just 7 years, and according to some others, he was 8. So 7 years of age at the time when his father was killed, and he and his duration of Imamat and Walayat started. So basically, a 7-year-old boy is the commander-in-chief of the entire universe, kullu ma siwallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single existence in the universe stands in need of him, because every single blessing of Allah is coming to the entire universe through him. Can you imagine the highness? Because in the Ahlul Bayt, the young and old age does not matter at all. We believe in our Islamic belief system that a prophet and an imam likewise are born with the entire knowledge of the book and entire knowledge and ismat and infallibility, and all those conditions which are required to be met for sitting on the position, on this divine position, are found in the spirituality of the Imam from day one of his birth. The kunyat with which you will find Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salam in the books of hadith. If you open up the Arabic books of hadith, you may not find the word Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi written in the books. So all those narrations which are narrated from our 10th Imam, you will find, most likely you will encounter the kunyat in a lot of a hadith, which is Abul Hasan al-Salis, Abul Hasan the Third. So that's how he is known, and that's how the narrations, in the knowledge of narrations, when you open up the books, you are very likely to find this kunyat mentioned in the books of hadith, Al-Naqi and Al-Hadi, and in some, according to some of the scholars, Al-Murtada and Al-Nasih as well, were his alqab and titles. 40 years of age in total, 40 years and 33 years was the age of his, the span of his imamat and walayat and governance. Governance in the sense that he is appointed by Allah to be the commander. Whether people accept him or not is irrelevant, because he has al-walayat al-takwiniya. Whether the people accept al-walayat al-tashri'iya or not, that's the ignorance of the people if they don't, which they did not. I mean, majority did not accept and followed all those tahut rulers in his times, which actually were 7 in number. 7 of the Abbasid rulers, Banu Abbas, were changing hands. The throne was changing hands from one tyrant, cruel ruler from the Banu Abbas to another. 7 different rulers changed the power and throne in the time, in 40 years of lifespan of Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, including the most famous and the most tyrant and the most ruthless and barbaric of the rulers, which is Mutawakkil al-Abbasi la'natullahi alayhi. And he is the guy who used to dig up the grave for Imam, and when he used to send him in the prison, there was a grave already dug up for the Imam, and in a prison which is small, and there is no light. So so it's completely dark, so you cannot know when is the sunrise, and you can never discover when is the moonrise or the sunset or the moonset. Complete darkness. 20 years of his life in these 40 years of his age, the last 20 years he was forcibly brought from his hometown of Medina in Arabian Peninsula to Baghdad, which was the capital of the government of Mutawakkil in those days. And in those 20 years of his, last 20 years of his stay in Baghdad, that's where Imam al-Hadi a.s. was transferred from one prison to another. And even for a few, for a short while when he was freed from the prisons, we find that he was constantly under surveillance of the Taghuts. Not just him, but all his close wakala, all those close companions who were serving as his reps, representative, serving the Islamic community on behalf of the Imam, one way or the other, and his close ashab and companions and followers, all of them were under watch. So, in the life history of these 14 infallibles, you find a parable that can be applied in our lives. In everything that you can encounter till the Day of Judgment, you will find an example, a role model, a sunnat, a seerat, a political example already displayed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made arrangements for us to find an example or several examples for any possible scenario that we may face in our lives till the Day of Judgment in the lives of these 14 infallibles. So we need to understand the specifically the political seerat and policies and stances of Ahlul Bayt towards the Taghuts and towards the enemies of humanity and enemies of Islam and Quran, so that we can also follow suit and do the same how the Imams did. We find that constant raids was a norm of the Banu Abbas government, who claimed to be grabbing the power in the name of the love of Ahlul Bayt because of the silliness of the masses. And this silliness continues up till today. As long as some people are silly, those who are crooked will continue to exploit. And that's exactly what's going on today. The regular masses, lots of the regular masses in the world, generally speaking, are silly. And the media is still exploiting their naive minds to manipulate for their political interests. Exactly the same situation was going on in those days. And we find that people were being exploited because these Banu Abbas took power from Banu Umayyah, the Umayyads, in the name of Ahlul Bayt, fooling the masses, using the name of the Ahlul Bayt and poisoning the Ahlul Bayt. Using the name of Ahlul Bayt, grabbing power and chair for themselves and torturing the Ahlul Bayt and jailing them and annoying them and killing them. And people are silly who are buying it, and they thought, yeah, Banu Umayyah, Umayyads, Abbasids, Banu Abbas are very nice people. They are from the lineage of the uncle of the Prophet whose name was Abbas. So that's the way the people are, and even today you find so many examples today. So enough is enough, and 11 of the Imams have been killed, and the 12th one, now we got to earn to see the Imam. You cannot, it's no longer a right to see and meet the Imam of your time, because we don't deserve it. Enough is enough. He is the seal of all the deputies. You got to earn, it's a privilege. You got to earn to even meet and see the Imam. Even taking his name is not permissible. We have been condemned. We have been stopped from even naming. If you, somebody looks, sees and finds the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is here and he sees him, he's not even allowed to introduce or to name him in front of the community. Look at the restrictions put by Allah until we learn how to behave towards the walayats. Enough is enough. Lots of prayers had already been done. People of Kufa were not Tarku Salat. They did not quit praying. Isn't that right? Enough fasting had already been done. Even they were praying on that side of in Karbala. Umar ibn Sa'd, Lanatullah Alayhi, was leading the prayers. So are we that silly to just consider the prayers and fasting and hijab and this is enough for our religion? So this has been done over centuries. 11 of the Imams have been gone. This is the 12th Imam. Look at the final days, you know, so that you understand deeply why in the world, is in Islam, we find that the 12th Imam is wajib to stay in the ghaybat. Look at the time which is getting closer and closer to the ghaybat. Look at the time for Imam Hadi alayhi salam, our 10th Imam, who is getting closer to the time of ghaybat. Look at the time in which he is going through and what hard time the community is giving to him. So what else? What other option is there on the table for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's exactly what Allah is supposed to do, what he did. He should keep the Imam in the ghaybat and should not bring him back despite all what is claimed by some, unless the people deserve to get and to defend the Imam and they are ready to sacrifice to defend the Imam. Sacrifice and give talaq to this dunya, come what may, but defend the Imam of the time. Which people are not ready for that. At least most of them are not ready for that. So Mutawakkil constantly sending people, raiding the house of the Imam, harassing him, torturing him, and torturing all the companions of the Imams, one after the other, you know. And how many companions can you have when most of your life is spent in the jails? And few of your days and weeks and months are outside. You are logically going to have very few followers. Followers in the sense who can interact with you. So basically, finally, in the time once when Imam was freed and Mutawakkil appointed his deputy, his chief advisor, Wazir, Fath bin Khaqan was another very cruel person, was appointed by Mutawakkil as his Wazir and deputy. And this guy, when he is announced to be the Wazir and second in charge after the king, the king Mutawakkil, he commanded all the community to, you know, let Fath bin Khaqan ride the horse and everybody has to walk behind him. This is how to insult the people and to make them feel that they are underdogs. They are subordinates. They need to obey. So, including the Imam. Imam alayhi salam was forced to go and join the gathering and walk behind Fath ibn Khaqan, the wazir, newly appointed wazir. The narrator says that I saw the Imam alayhi salam is walking and it was a warm day. And I said to the Imam, well, they're not supposed to do like this towards you. And Imam said that they are trying to insult me. They're trying to make me humiliated, get humiliated. But they don't know that I am no less than the camel of Prophet Saleh. That was a statement of Imam Naqi alayhi salam said to this narrator, and this narrator said, well, I heard it, I came back from the whole thing and I came and told to an old, elderly, knowledgeable person, I said that I met with the Imam in the gathering and he was saying this, that well, they want to insult me, but I am no less than the camel of Prophet Saleh, camel of Saleh, Naqa of Saleh alayhi salam. So this old, elderly, knowledgeable person replied, okay, if that's what the Imam said to you, then the lifespan of Mutawakkil, the king, is no longer than 3 days from now. He's going to die within 3 days. Then how can you know? He said, don't you pay attention to what Imam Hadi alayhi salam said, that I am no lesser than the Naqa and camel of Prophet of Saleh alayhi salam. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already said in the Holy Quran, تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. In other words, talking about the whole sin and the thing, you know, this when Quran mentions the story of, you know, how... So we know the whole story, you know, how the people of, of Samud, the nation of Samud, how they were called in the history, demanded their prophet to bring out of miracle a camel from this mountain close to their city, and Allah fulfilled, and the miraculous camel came out, huge she camel came out of the mountain, and finally they breached their covenant and promise and they killed the camel. So after they killed the camel, despite the fact they were told not to do so, but the whole nation was punished, all of those who were with the whole plan were punished, and after 3 days of killing the camel. So they were given a chance to survive for 3 more days, and then the divine punishment arrived. Everybody was gone. So this guy said, well, it means that Mutawakkil is going to be killed within 3 days. And that's exactly what happened. His son Muntasir Billah was the one who entered into the Darbar, and Mutawakkil, the king, his father, was sitting with the wazir, the deputy, Fath bin Khaqan, and he killed all of them together. Well, killing of a tyrant and barbaric, ruthless dictator like Mutawakkil is of course a very good thing. Nothing wrong with that. But the point to remember is that whenever a son kills the father, we have two different statements among our fuqaha. Most of our fuqaha say, majority of our fuqaha say, that any son that kills any father has 6 months lifespan for him. Whereas Sheikh Saduq rahmatullah alayh has said, if a son kills the father, his lifespan is no longer than 9 months. So either 6 months or 9 months, that's the most a son can survive after massacring his own father. Because, you know, that's the way it goes. So Muntasir is the son who killed his cruel father Mutawakkil, but he also got, he died after 6 months. So this is the situation, and plenty of incidents took place in this period of time, and so many of the miracles. It really astonishes if you read the Islamic history and you find our imams in such small period of time with all those problems and hassles they faced in their life, but despite the fact they faced all such tortures and prisons, but they still managed to serve Islam, to support Islam, to defend Islam, to propagate Islam, and to preach Islam to so many of their ashab successfully. So every action of theirs has barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the real use of the word barakat. Because everything they did had barakat and numu. Ma lillahi yanmu. What is for the sake of Allah has growth in it. So Allah provided barakat in everything they did in such short periods of time. Despite all those tries and efforts of insulting the imams, once the people said to Mutawakkil that, well, whenever you call Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi in your darbar, your servants are standing here at the gate and they are the ones who are lifting the curtain. They lift the curtain for everybody and they lift the curtain for him as well. And so basically it gives the wrong message. You're giving the wrong message to the people that you are doing ihtiram and respect towards this person. He is actually the imam, and you are not the imam, you are usurping his position. So don't ask your khadim, don't ask your servants to raise the curtain upon the arrival of the imam. Mutawakkil said, fine, if you guys suggest me that, fine, we can do that. The next time I call him, I force him to show up in my darbar, then don't raise the curtain for him. So his people did the same, didn't raise the curtain. But as soon as the imam alayhi salam got close, Muhaddis Qummi rahmatullah alayhi narrates, and he got close to the entrance door, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew the wind, and the wind blew and the wind opened up the curtain. And Imam alayhi salam arrived, and when he was leaving for the second time, the wind blew towards the opposite direction and the curtain was opened and he left. So when a mutawakkil saw this situation, he said, well, next time you got to open up the curtain for him, because if you don't, then His Highness will be shown to the people that Allah is making arrangement for him. So he's that high. So instead of His Highness getting exposed to the community, then you better raise the curtain for him. So we find that likewise you know, I have already narrated the story of the Zainab al-Kadhaba. I think last year we already told about that. I won't repeat that story. In the time of Imam Naqi al-Islam, that was another famous story. A woman claimed to be Zainab, the daughter of Imam Ali. Such a weird claim. And that was also exposed by Imam alayhi salam, and he said, "Hurima luhumu awladi ala sabah." You know, Imam narrated this hadith that the flesh of my, you know, of my children are haram on the wild animals. So basically, if she's the daughter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, if she's Zainab, she cannot be eaten up by the wild animals. You know, if she can be, you know, so basically that's how he already exposed this thing. Another very interesting event that took place in the time of Imam Hadi alayhi salam was the incident of the painting or the picture of the lion, when Mutawakkil invited the Imam on a gathering, and there was food in front of the Imam, and he also arranged some of the magicians to play some tricks upon the Imam. First of all, in our Islamic belief system, a magic can never affect the Prophet or the Imam. First of all, it's impossible. It's impossible for any magic to influence any Prophet or to influence any Imam. So as far as the Imam himself is concerned, he is beyond the influence of anybody. Let's be very clear about it. The guy was, of course, an ignorant person. Magic is haram in Islam. It's considered to be kufr, equal to denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one other than a kafir can do the magic, first of all. So the guy tried to do some magic over the food, which was in front of the Imam, and the plates that were put in front of the Imam, the plate. So he tried to, like, Imam stretched his hand, and he tried to take the plate far away from Imam's hand. He tried to do this kind of trick a couple of times, few times, and there was a painting or a picture of lion on the wall where Imam was sitting, and Imam asked, you know, with the miracle of Imam, that painting of the lion converted into a real lion. And the lion came into the real life, and he ate up this magician. And Mutawakkil, who was sitting with his people, he got fainted with the fear of seeing this physical lion arriving in this gathering. Mutawakkil fainted for a while. When he became conscious after some time, and he started to beg and request the Imam, you know, please, if you can bring this magician back. You know, he was guest and so on and so forth, bring him back. Imam said, if the stick of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, if the stick of Prophet Musa had brought those snakes or those threads, whatever, you know, which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, I'm not telling the exact words of the hadith of the Imam. If the stick of Prophet Musa had thrown out those, you know, snakes of in the time of the magicians in the time of Pharaoh, then this lion would also have thrown out this magician. So basically, it's not going to happen. And likewise, we find that it has been narrated in one of the ahadiths of the Imam that that al-musibatu li-sabir wahidatun. This is the hadith from Imam An-Naqi alayhi salam. that al musibatu lis sabir wahidatun walil jazir ithnatan. Anybody who exercises sabr and patience over a musibat, a test from Allah, his musibat is only one. It's one musibat that he's facing. Walil jazir, and somebody who gets annoyed and upset and starts screaming and starts, you know, showing his displeasure over the musibat, this test arriving from Allah, for this type of person, the musibat is not one, it's two. Look at this, our scholars have mentioned while explaining this beautiful hadith of the of our Imam, we find that Muhaddis Qummi has said that when Prophet sent his message upon the death of the son of Ma'az, son of Ma'az passed away, Ma'az was of course very sad, Prophet sent this message of condolences to Ma'az and said, وَقَدْ كَانَ إِبْنُكَ مِنْ مَوَاهِبِ اللَّهِ الْحَنِيئَةِ وَعَوَارِيهِ الْمُسْتَوْدَعَ. That means certainly your son was one of the gifts from Allah, you know, مَتَّعَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي غِبْطَةٍ وَسُرُورٍ وَقَبَضَهُ مِنْكَ بِأَجْرٍ كَثِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided happiness to you, you know, through your son, and took it back from you, and is providing you a huge ajr and reward for that. You know, when we, in other words, when we embrace a test from Allah and stay patient and don't burst up, we don't start complaining against divine decision, we tolerate, you know, we get a lot of ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we are exercising sabr and patience. Well, now we are ready to tolerate the divine wisdom and decisions which we may not understand, but we need to have sabr. If we do the sabr, we get the big reward on that. That's what our scholars say whenever somebody's son passes away. The first sentence that a person speaks carries a lot of weight in the eyes of Allah. Not after your friends, relatives, family people come along and they start, you know, consoling you and provide their ta'ziyat and condolences, and then you calm down. And everybody gets in control. It's not a big deal. The big deal is that as soon as you face this musibat and test from Allah according to His divine absolute wisdom, do you complain against His decision? Or you are ready to accept it and accommodate it from your heart? So the first sentence you speak shows your level of iman and ma'rifat about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the later sentences. They are not the sign. So, as-salatu wa rahmatu wa al-huda in sabarta, you know, salat and mercy and guidance, if you had sabr and patience, wahtasabta, fala tajma'anna alayka musibatain. So Prophet said to Ma'az that don't combine two musibats for you. A Prophet is calling this thing is also a musibat. That means if, you know, basically if we are not ready to be, to have sabr over divine decision, then this is another musibat and test on us. We are facing another problem, not facing one problem, facing two problems. فَيَحْبِطَ لَكَ أَجْرُكَ. So your reward will be gone, it will drop. وَتَنْدُمْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكَ. And then, and you will be repenting on what you lost. So when we lose the reward, of course we will end up rewarding. One of the reasons why the Ahlul Bayt alayhimussalam have the highest of the rewards, because they never complained against Allah. You look at Imam Hussein alayhimussalam, even in his final moments, you never find a word of complaint. You don't find even a small child in the family and household of Imam Hussein, Hazrat Sakina. You know, 6-year-old baby, child, girl, baby girl. You never find in any history that Hazrat Sakina ever said one sentence of complaint towards Allah. Oh my God, why is this happening to me? Why me? Am I a bad person? What did I do wrong? Isn't that right? Some people start saying like this. What is this happening to me? I did so much good in my life. Why is Allah doing to me? What do you mean? You want everything to go smooth? Are you above Anbiya and Aimma? You know, Anbiya and Aimma face the highest of the problems in their life. It seems you don't understand the whole concept of Nubuwwat and Imamat. and the test and why we are sent on this world. You don't understand. So this shows your level of ma'rifat, that you start bursting up and complaining against the divine decision. So Imam, the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech from Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, where he has said, Al-Hikmatu la tanja' fi taba'il fasida. Hikmat does not stay, in other words. Hikmat cannot influence, cannot be mu'assir, cannot have ta'seer and influence on those people whose tabi'at and nature is fasid, mischievous, bad-natured people. So those people whose nature is bad, wisdom is not going to influence them. That's why, that's what we constantly, I constantly keep on mentioning in my speeches, that you get what you deserve. That's what they say in Ilm al-Irfan, everything, everyone gets what he or she deserves. We need to make ourselves deserving in terms of our spirituality and purification of the qalb and soul, and then we'll get what according to that level of purification. If we are not that much purified, then you will get according to the level of your purification. In Arabic, there's a proverb, they say, لِكُلِّ تُرْبَةٍ غَرْسًا وَلِكُلِّ بِنَاءٍ أُسًّا. For every soil, there is a plantation. And for every construction, there is a foundation. So basically, not every plant can be grown, and you cannot sow every plant on every soil. It requires a different types of terrain. Isn't that right? The plants which grow in the deserts, and the plants which grow in the fertile land, and there are plants which grow on the mountains, on the rocks and stones. So not every plant can grow in all terrains and locations. So not every bit of wisdom can be accommodated in every soul, because our soil has been taken from different places. Unless we have the purification of the soul, then and only then we will be ready to accommodate the divine teachings as much as we purify our souls. The beauty of Islamic teachings is that it's all related to our own purification, which is in our own control. The more we purify our souls, the more we get. The less we purify, the less we get. I really would like to mention a little bit about some of the companions of our 10th Imam, Imam al-Naqi alayhi salam, because these are the occasions where we can talk about them. So these people have a great haq and right on our neck in transferring the teachings from our Imams to the later generations and protecting the religion. One of the great companions of the Imam, Imam al-Naqi alayhi salam, was a person who was Husayn ibn Sa'id al-Kufi al-Ahwazi al-Qummi. He originally belonged to Kufa, but he used to reside in the city of Ahwaz, which is in Iran, and later on migrated to Qum, and his grave is located in the city of Holy Qum. Husayn ibn Sa'id has 30 books. He is an author of 30 books, 30. In those days where people were ignorant, didn't even know how to read and write, if a person is writing 30 books, you know, he has maybe several postdoctorate degrees. Somebody who has 30 books written in those days of ignorance. So he's a great scholar, muwaththaq companion, trustworthy companion of Imam al-Naqi alayhi salatu wasalam, Husayn ibn Sa'id al-Kufi al-Ahwazi al-Qummi. His brother was also a great person who wrote 50 books. Second companion of Imam al-Naqi alayhi salam was Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari. He is one of the very trustworthy and great companions, an extremely poor person. And Sayyid ibn Ta'us rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that he is also one of the wukala of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And Abu Hashim there are lots of beautiful stories, but I don't think we have time to discuss. Maybe some other time, or we can talk about that. And the third companion was Ali ibn Ja'far al-Haminawi. He was also the wakil of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, and he was captured by Mutawakkil, sent to jail. He sent a written message to Imam Hadi alayhi salam to pray for me. Imam said, I will pray. And when the Thursday arrived, the night of Thursday night, Shabe Juma, you know, this night that we are in tonight, like similar to this night, you know, it's a lot of Shabe Juma. Praying in the Thursday night is a lot of, it's very effective. Your dua is accepted by Allah, inshallah, in the Thursday night. Thursday night is very important for duas. Whatever dua you have from Allah, do it on the Thursday nights. Imam said, I will do the dua. And the time arrived when he did the dua. It was Thursday night. He waited until the Thursday night arrived, and then he did the dua. And at the time of, by the time of, in the morning of that means the Friday morning, Mutawakkil became sick. He became ill. He had severe fever. And so much severe fever that he commanded to free all the Shias, that he had all those people that he had jailed in his jail. And specifically he mentioned Ali ibn Ja'far, because he was the wakil of the Imam whom he recently captured. He specifically by name mentioned that freed that person. And when he freed, of course, later on his fever was gone. So basically, this is another companion of Imam Hadi alayhi salam was Ibn Sikit al-Ahwazi. He's also from the city of Ahwaz in Iran. Iran has produced countless great followers of Ahlul Bayt throughout the history, as a matter of fact. And when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, had a look on Salman al-Farsi, Prophet said that لَوْ كَانَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنُوطًا بِالسُّرَيَّةِ لَتَنَاوَلَهُ رَجَالٌ مِّنْ فَارْسٍ. That means even if achieving the faith and Iman requires from a person to go that high up till the star, which is in Arabic called Surayya, is the name of a star in Arabic. Even if achieving the Iman and faith requires from you to go and ascend that high to reach the star called Surayya, some people from Fars would have gone to bring the Iman. So they are so keen towards the Iman and the faith. This kind of statement is unlike any other hadith for any in the praise of anybody that Prophet ever said. You don't find this type of hadith for anybody or any other nation. So there is a lot of praise. And when you read the services done by the followers of Ahlul Bayt who belong to that Fars, that land, that area, you find that you would understand, to some extent why the Prophet was praising them. Ibn Sakit is also from Ahwaz. He is a great linguist and scholar of Arabic grammar and Arabic sciences in those days. He was asked by Mutawakkil to teach two of his sons the Arabic grammar, Arabic language. Ibn Sakit is a huge scholar of those days of Arabic language. And once Ibn Sakit is a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and follower of Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Ibn Sakit, once when he was there, Mutawakkil came and he posed this question to Ibn Sakit. Well, do you consider Hassan and Hussein are superior than these two sons of mine? Or these two sons are superior than Hassan and Hussein? Ibn Sakit, when he heard that statement, actually this comparison is an insult. This question itself is an insult. When Ibn Sakit heard that question, he said that I consider the servant of Imam Ali, Qambar, to be superior than these two sons and their father.
That was the response of Ibn Sakit. And of course, the history informs us that Mutawakkil commanded that his tongue should be cut off and thrown out. So that was the constant sacrifices that the followers of Ahlul Bayt have been doing. So please read salawat for Ibn Sakit and all the rest of the followers of Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Another companion of Imam Hadi alayhi salam was Abdul Azim. Abdul Azim is actually one of the relatives of Imam, because he is from the lineage of Imam Hassan, and he is a relative of Imam alayhi salam, but he is a strong companion and follower, and a big muhaddis, narrated so many ahadith, a big zahid and alim, a big scholar of those days. Abdul Azim is extremely respected for his greatness and knowledge and ma'rifat and services. Once he came to the Imam and said that, "Oh my Mawla, I would like to present my faith, my iman, to present it in front of you, so that you can certify what I believe is correct or not." And that's where, and this is an authentic narration which I'm mentioning to you. So Imam alayhi salam said, you know, that means do it. That means show it, present it to me, in other words. And Ibn Sakit said that, well, I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wahid, is one. There is no example for him. There's no likeness for him. He's not a body. There's no, you know, he's no comparison with anything. He's the creator of all the things and all the bodies, and, you know, and khalikul adsam was suwar and a'raz and jawahir, and he's the Lord and the owner of everything, and he's the one who created all the things. So he explained the whole belief of Tawheed in front of Imam alayhi salam. And then he came to the Risalat and said, "Well, I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the servant, abd, of Allah and his messenger, and the seal of all the prophets. And there is no prophet coming him after him till the day of judgment. And his Sharia is the final Sharia, you know, final among all the previous Sharia, and there is no Shariat and code of law coming after this Sharia till the day of judgment. And you know, and the Imam and the Khalifa and the Wali and Mawla and ruler after the Holy Prophet is Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. And after that, he started to name each one of the Imams, each one of the nine Imams. And then he said that after Imam Taqi alayhi salam, you are my Mawla and the ruler and Imam. And Imam alayhi salam said after that after me it's my son Hassan. And what would be the situation of the people in the time of the son of Hassan, you know, who is going to come after him. He asked Imam, what would be the situation? Can you please explain it to me? And Imam alayhi salam explained that the Imam after Hassan, Imam is talking about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the Imam after Hassan will not be seen by the people. It will not be halal for the people to even name him. And, you know, we have at least the Tawqi' al-Mubarak, the hadith of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam himself saying, "Man sammani fi majma'in minan nas fa alayhi la'natullah." Whosoever names me in a gathering, may the la'nat and curse of Allah be upon him. So it's not allowed, how I was already explaining to you moments ago, it was not allowed for the people to even name Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in front of the crowd. So we call him with his titles, and we remember him with his kunyat and titles, and not with his name.
it will not be halal for the people to name him until he comes out. That means he performs his uprising, and he will fill up the earth with justice, adl and qist, the way it will be full with zulm and jawr and injustice. And Abdul Azim says, well, I agree, I accept, and I also believe that all those people who love them should be loved, and all those people who take the Ahlul Bayt to be their enemies should be our enemies. We should take them as our enemies. Obedience of these Imams is the obedience of Allah, and sinning these Imams, that means, or disobeying these Imams, is actually disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I believe that the Mi'raj of the Prophet is haq, and the questioning in the grave is haq, and the paradise and the hell is haq, and the sirat, that means the bridge of sirat, is haq, and the mizan, the scale, Imam Ali Islam, who is the, you know, mizan, anta mizanul amal, what the Prophet said, the mizan is haq, the scale on the Day of Judgment, which is actually the walayat of Imam Ali Islam. The scale is haq, and Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, is going to arrive. There is no doubt about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to resurrect all those who are in the graves. And after that, he started to mention that the fara'is, the duties which I perform, is of course after the walayat of you, which is the love, walayat, the love of Allah and the Messenger and the Imams. After your love and walayat, after your love and walayat, what I do as wajib is my prayers and fast, and the Islamic texts and fasting and hajj and jihad and amr bil ma'roof and nahi al munkar, bidding the good and forbidding the bad. Imam Hadi alayhi salam, when he heard the whole thing and all these explanations that he provided about his faith and his practices, Imam alayhi salam said, Ya Abul Qasim. Abul Qasim is the kunyat of Abdul Azim, that I swear to God that this is the religion of Allah which He is pleased with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you steadfast on this religion. So that's basically how Abdul Azim presented his entire faith to the Imam. One of the other companions of the Imam was Khairan, who was the khadim and servant of Imam Rida alayhi salam. He is also a companion of Imam Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salam, and he was Ahlul Asrar, somebody with whom Imam had shared the secrets. And once he came to see the Imam, he said that Rayyan bin Shabib is sending his salam to you, and he is requesting you to pray for him and for his son. Imam alayhi salam did dua for Rayyan ibn Shabib, but he did not do dua for his son. Our Imams never used to do dua for any kuffar or munafiqeen. We should be very clear about this. They never compromise on their principles. They never do anything to in front of the people, for buttering up the people, or to show off to the people, or for riya, nothing. They always stick to their principles. He didn't do dua for his son. He was, according to some of the riwayat, he was also a wakil of the Imam alayhi salam. Being a wakil is another sign how trustworthy he was. You know, one of the most important things to judge the people is their amanatdari, how much they are ameen, are they ready to take care of the entrusted trusts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, including the financial matters. There are several people and wukala in the times of different Imams who did khiyanat in the Baytul Maal, in the khums money. They had money, they were followers, and now that one Imam passes away, and they were supposed to give away the whole khums money which they have, because shar'an, the wikalat, you being an agent on behalf of the mujtahid, this is called wikalat. This wikalat automatically becomes batil and invalid if the mujtahid passes away. Just like if one Imam alayhi salam makes you his wakil to collect the qums, and one imam passes away, the wakalat automatically becomes batil. You've got to go and give the whole khums to the living imam. Just like we do today. When one mujtahid passes away, the wakil is supposed to give the entire khums money to the living mujtahid.
But some people don't want to do that because they are making a whole fortune based on the money. Why would they give it to the new mujtahid, or why would they give it to the mujtahid, new mujtahid, or to the imam? So several of the so-called followers of converted and changed sides. Ali ibn Hamza al-Bata'ini is one of the famous ones who had thousands in those days, and he was the, when he was the wakil of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, when Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam passed away, he is supposed to give the whole Qums money and Baytul Mal money to Imam Rida alayhi salam, but he is not ready to give away the money. So
the easy way is to deny the imamat of Imam Rida alayhi salam. At least you can keep the money. And that's exactly what he did. He did not accept Imam Rida alayhi salam because he wanted to keep the money. So Imam Rida alayhi salam said in one of his narrations, hadith, to some companions who were there, right now Ali ibn Hamza passed away. Ali ibn Hamza was living in some other city, probably in Medina, some other city. So Imam Rida alayhi salam said, right now Ali ibn Hamza passed away, and he was put in the grave, he was buried in the grave, and the angels arrived. And they started asking him the questions. As soon as you shut the grave, the angels start arriving. That's why we read the Talqeen straight away without delay. So the angels start arriving and they asked him, who is your Lord and all those questions, who is the Prophet and all that. And the imams, and he replied the answer to the first imam is Ali. He gave the right answer. Who is the next imam after him? He gave the right answer, Imam Hassan, and so on and so forth. Until the angels asked him, who is the seventh imam, and he replied Imam Qasim alayhi salam correctly, and then the angel said, who is the imam after him? And he couldn't say the name of Imam Rida alayhi salam because he did not accept Imam Rida alayhi salam. You cannot lie in front of Allah in the grave.
So you need you don't need a lie detector test taking place in the grave. Basically, no one can even think of lying in that world, because it's not this alamul mulk, and these principles do not apply there at all. He could not reply. The angels repeated the question. He still could not reply, and then the angels punished him with the maqma of nar, a kind of weapon of the hellfire, and they punished him, and his whole grave is now full of the hellfire, shall remain like this till the day of judgment. So basically lots of people were opposing for the sake of money. So when we say that Khairan al-Khadim was the wakil of Imam alayhi salam, it gives a lot of weight because he was a trustworthy person. Also, it has been narrated that Imam alayhi salam has said that اعمل في ذلك, in another narration, اعمل في ذلك برأيك فإن رأيك رأي. Act in this matter in that matter according to your judgment, your opinion, because your opinion is my opinion. ومن أطاعك أطاعني, and whosoever obeys you obeys me. So this is just a small servant who used to stand on the door of the imam, just like the doorman. But he's so high in his ma'rifat and iman that he is now the wakil of the Imam alayhi salam. So one of the du'as I would like to mention before I end my speech, one of the du'as of Imam al-Naqi alayhi salam, which is extremely high in its meanings, is Ya Uddati عند العدد ويا رجائي والمعتمد. O you who is the Udda is in Arabic means that somebody, if you have an arrangement where somebody, you can turn to someone who can
provide assistance and help to you in the hour of need. So he is addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this, wa ya raja'i wal mu'tamad, and you who are my hope and my the one whom I rely upon, wa ya kahfi was sanad, and O you who is my refuge and the place of that we turn to and rely, wa ya wahidu ya ahad ya qul huwallahu ahad as'aluka allahumma bihaqq man khalaqtahu min khalqika, O my Lord, I ask you in the name in the haqq of those whom you created, wa lam taj'al fi khalqika mithlahum ahad, and you did not create anyone similar to those people in your entire creation. أن تصلي عليهم, that you send your salawat on them, وتفعل بي, and you do towards me, you know, such and such. This is an extremely good dua. If any one of you wants, I can give or write it down for you, this dua, so you can also seek your hajat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين تسيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.